Morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. It's 8 minutes after 9 a.m., 15th April, 2012. With me today is Co-Chair Hoffman, Senator Olson, Senator Thomas, Senator Egan. We'll be joined by others as the day goes on. There are other meetings going on. We've got several pieces of business today, and this is our last day, so we're going to keep things clicking along. House Bill 121, Loan Funds, Charter Mariculture Microloans. House Bill 279, Extending Certain Boards and Commissions. House Bill 359, Sex Crimes Testimony by Video Conference. House Bill 361, Disposal of State Resources and Royalties. House Bill 264, Mini Property Tax Deferral. House Bill 89, Extraction of Bedload Materials. House Bill 125, Alcohol Beverage Control Board. First up, House Bill 21 by the Governor regarding loan funds for charters, mariculture, and microloans. This is the second hearing on this resolution. We heard it for the first time the 25th of January. The intent today is to bring the bill back for the purpose of adopting a committee substitute and look to the will of the committee. This is a bill, not a resolution. Let's see here. Senator Thomas, can I have a motion to adopt committee substitute version S?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I move that the committee adopt Senate committee substitute for CS for House Bill number 121 as our working document.
I'll object for explanation. Mr. Peterson, what do we got here, please?
Backslash S, too, just in case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Darwin Peterson, staff to the Senate Finance Committee. Sections 1 through 11 of the committee substitute for House Bill 121, version S, are new sections that will establish the Community Quota Entity Revolving Loan Fund based on language that came to us from in Senate Bill 204, which is currently in this committee. The intent of this program is to assist small coastal communities throughout Southeast and the Gulf of Alaska to form nonprofit community entities that may be eligible for up to a $1 million loan from the state to purchase up to 50,000 pounds of fishing quota that will be held in trust for community residents. Currently, there are 45 coastal communities that could qualify because they meet the requirements of being off the road system with a population of 1,500 or less, and they have a history of fishing. There's, for the members' information, there's a map in your packets that shows the that shows 42 of those 45 communities. The other three are Cold Bay on the Alaska Peninsula, Nocatee Bay on Prince of Wales Island, and Game Creek on Chichagof Island near Hoonah. After consulting with the Alaska Bankers Association, Mr. Chairman, we've placed sidebars on this program to satisfy some of their concerns. On page 3, lines 14, we've reduced the interest deferment from 10 years to 2 years. On the same page, line 15, we've expressly prohibited the community quota entity from refinancing their loan through the state. We've also made this a pilot program, which will sunset in 5 years. The fiscal note appropriates $10 million, which is enough for 10 communities. In 5 years, the legislature can revisit this program, and if it's proven to be successful, the legislature at that time can decide if the program should be continued. In addition, the committee substitute places an interest rate floor on loans offered through the Commercial Fishing Loan Fund. This is found on page 2, line 4, where it says the interest rate may not be less than the cost of funds as defined on page 3, lines 16 through 19. The floor will be the prime rate plus 1 percentage point plus an additional percentage point determined by the department to represent risk. This will promote interest rates offered through the state's loan program that are more closely based on market forces and will discourage the state from offering artificially low subsidized rates that will compete with the private sector. Section 12 on page 5 sets up the Commercial Charter Fisheries Revolving Loan Fund. The previous version would have allowed loans for the purchase of charter halibut permits, the purchase or construction of a fishing vessel, and for upgrades to an existing vessel. The committee substitute removes the last two sections referring to vessels, so loans can only be used for the purchase of halibut permits. The reason is that loans for fishing vessels can be accessed through conventional lenders. Also, in the Commercial Charter Fisheries Revolving Loan Fund on page 7, lines 13 through 15, The committee substitute limits the loan amount for a charter halibut permit to a value determined by the department based on a 12-month rolling average set quarterly, which may not exceed $100,000. This is so as not to artificially increase the value of the permits. In your packets, Mr. Chairman, there's this spreadsheet, which is provided by the department, that shows the average price of the halibut permits. It ranges from $29,000 to $61,000. There were no changes to the other two loan programs that were in this bill, Mr. Chairman. That concludes the changes in the CS.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of the CS. We have further objection. And seeing none, we have version S in front of us. I see we've got representation from the Department of Commerce. If you can come forward, please. We have full confidence in you that you can take the questions on the fly.
Okay, fair enough.
We have, I don't know, you just walked in the room, but we're working on House Bill 221 by the governor regarding loans for charter mariculture microloans, and I'm just wondering if you had 121, if you have any brief comments to the committee.
For the record, we
have adopted the CS, so you know where we're at. Okay, go ahead.
For the record, my name is Curtis Thayer, and I serve as the Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. The revolving loan funds that initially were suggested are one for commercial charter of fisheries, and that was capitalized at $9 million in the House Finance Committee, and is to provide loans to buy the charter permits that NOAA issued about 2 years ago. The cost of those permits average between $39,000 and as high as $90,000, and those are mainly for 6-pack, 12-pack boats in southeast and in south central Alaska. The second was a mariculture loan fund, and that was initial startup was to be $2.5 million. They would provide up to $100,000 of loans per applicant per year, not to exceed $300,000. And the one thing is there is a this particular loan fund, there is delayed payment up to 7 years, because with mariculture there is a time for with gooey ducks and oysters and others, there's a delayed payment of 7 years. The interest accrues, but not the payments. And the last one was a microloan program, which was to help small businesses up to $35,000, $70,000 for a partnership, to help finance small businesses. We're the last state in the union that does not have a microloan program. These were to be housed in the Department of Economic Development financing section, and it is to have one body that would administer, that would help with all three, because the work would actually be spread out among everybody, but we needed one additional person for a loan closer for these loans.
Thank you. We've got five fiscal notes in your packet, one fiscal note from the Department of Commerce, Community Economic Development for $85,300 for one full-time position, one fiscal note for $2,500,000 to capitalize the microloan fund, one fiscal note for $5 million to capitalize the mariculture loan fund, one fiscal note for $5 million to capitalize the charter loan fund, one fiscal note for $10 million to capitalize the community quota entry loan fund. We've previously had public testimony. Does any committee member have any questions, concerns? Will of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate Finance Committee move the following bill to the next committee of referral, Senate Bill CS for House Bill 121, along with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Do we have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes? Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill to the next committee of referral. Next up, House Bill 279 by the Legislative Budget and Audit regarding the extending certain boards and commissions. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it for the first time the 14th of April. The intent is to bring a bill back for further review. Look to the will of the committee. We have representation from Rep. Hawker's office, if she could come forward. We have, let me read through the fiscal notes. There are six fiscal notes in your packet. One from the Department of Public Safety for the Alcohol Beverage Control Board in the amount of $1,538,200. One from the Department of Natural Resources for the Alaska Seismic Hazardous Safety Commission for $10,000. one from the Department of Community Commerce, Community Economic Development for the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers for $160,200, one from the Department of Commerce, Community Economic Development for the Big Game Commercial Service Board for $461,600, one from the Department of Commerce, Community Economic Development for the Board of Dental Examiners for $200,900, one from the Department of Commerce, Community Economic Development for the Board of Nursing for $1,070,800. All of these appropriations are currently funded in the FY13 operating budget. We previously had public testimony. We have any comments, concerns from the bill sponsor?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I believe that the sponsor was able to get all of his concerns on the record at the previous meeting. The one concern was about the amendment in the CS, just that he prefers to keep the board extensions clean from the policy calls while not commenting at all about what the policy call is that the committee is making, and that was the only comment that we had.
Thank you. Anybody in the audience want to come forward and speak on this bill? Okay. Back to the committee. Any concerns from the committee? Questions? Will of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass Senate CS for CS for Us Bill 279 to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill to the next committee of referral. Next up, House Bill 359 by the Governor regarding sex crimes and testimony by video conference. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, look to the will of the committee. Ms. Carpinetti, can you tell us what we have here, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Annie Carpinetti, and I represent the Criminal Division of the Department of Law. This bill addresses sex trafficking. It's a long bill, but I would say that more than half of the pages in the bill address a change in the title of a crime from promoting prostitution in the first, second, third, and fourth degrees to sex trafficking in those degrees. And the reason for the change of name is, one, for communications, because we have found that law enforcement almost uniformly describes this conduct as sex trafficking rather than promoting prostitution, and that has led to some misunderstandings over the last several years. Second, it is considered, and maybe that's why law enforcement has made this change in terminology, it's considered to be more respectful to victims of these crimes, to be considered victims of sex trafficking rather than people whose prostitution is being promoted. Having said that, so a lot of the pages in this bill are conforming throughout our statutes, conforming to that name change. It does also several substantive things. First of all, it adds two crimes to our conspiracy law. One is human trafficking in the first degree, which is a Class A felony, and sex trafficking, I'll call it that now, in the first degree, which is either a Class A felony if you are trafficking an adult, or it is an unclassified felony, which is our most serious felony if you are trafficking a child. The bill raises the penalty for being a patron of a prostitute who is under 18 years of age from a Class B misdemeanor to a Class C felony if the patron is over 18 years old and is 3 years older than the victim. It also, the bill addresses the crime of distribution of indecent material to minors. Last summer, a federal district court judge in Anchorage found that statute in our law to be unconstitutional for being overbroad. So the bill tightens down the elements of the crime to require the state in prosecuting a person for this offense to prove that the person intentionally distributed the material or possessed it with intent to distribute it, knew that the child he or she was sending it to was under 16, or believed that the child was under 16 years old, and knew that the material being sent contained the prohibited material. It does make, although it changes the name of sex from promoting prostitution to sex trafficking, it doesn't make any changes in the elements of these offenses, with one exception, and that is the House Finance Committee changed the age of the victim from under 18 years of age to under 20 years of age for that crime to be an unclassified felony. And it, so that it really only affects the penalty for the offense. And the rationale was that 18 and 19-year-old children are maybe considered adults in some ways, but they are vulnerable to being victimized by people who are older and should have this additional protection.
Okay. We have two indeterminate physical notes from the Department of Corrections and the state court system, 50 physical notes from the Department of Public Safety, Law, and Administration.
Yes.
We have any initial questions or concerns for Scarpinetti? Seeing none, well, we have nobody signed up in the off-net, nobody called in, LIOs, nobody's signed up in the room to testify.
Everybody's in church.
Everybody's in church, which they should be, except us. So we'll come back to the committee. Do we have questions for Ms. Carpinetti? Will of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate pass CS, Senate Finance Committee pass CS for House Bill 359 to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing none, move the bill to the next committee referral. Next up, House Bill 361 by the Governor regarding disposal of the state resources and royalties. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to adopt a committee substitute, have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and look to the will of the committee. Senator Hoffman, we have a motion to adopt committee substitute version E.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt Senate CS for CS for House Bill 361/E as our working document.
And I'll object for explanation. Senator Egan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The bill has an added phrase in the title that lets us add Section 26 conveying a parcel of land. The second change is at the very end of Section 7 on page 4, line 1. It matches a change our Resources Committee made to the Senate version requiring public notice of renewal decisions for state land leases. And, Mr. Chair, the last change is on page 17. It adds Section 26, which transfers a parcel of land to the City and Borough of Juneau. Land transfer here is something I've worked on with DNR and the city since I took office. It's been over 2.5 years, or over a 2.5 year issue. It came to a head late this session, and the department determined that fixing the problem would take an act of the legislature, or it's Sunday, maybe another act. They have agreed to let this excellent pro-development bill be the vehicle to transfer these tide lands, which are necessary to finish the permitting conditions for a commercial loading facility that serves commercial fisheries in this region.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. I'll remove my objection to the adoption of the CS. We have further objection to the adoption of the CS. Seeing none, we have version E in front of the committee. We have representation from DNR. If you can introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and tell us what this bill does, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Ed Fogels. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Natural Resources. This bill is the result of the legislature's and the governor's request for the Department of Natural Resources to look at our permitting systems and try and improve the way we do permitting, reduce our backlog, and reduce time and cost for applicants. We've done a bottom-up review of our statutes. Over the last year, we've come up with a fairly significant pile of ideas that we think will improve our permitting, and this bill is the top first batch. There really isn't anything earth-shattering in here. These are small tweaks, housekeeping, so to speak, but in sum, we believe that these changes will enable the Department of Natural Resources to process applications quicker and reduce time and cost for the applicant. I'm going to run through very, very briefly the main provisions, and then if you want, we can delve deeper. We have a couple of staff online, too, that are real experts on the nuts and bolts. This bill would improve our land leasing process by giving the department more flexibility in issuing negotiated leases instead of competitive leases, especially where there is no competitive interest, and it would also allow us more flexibility in renewing leases. And keep in mind, this is for land leases only, not for oil and gas leases. This bill would make our material sale process more efficient and allow us to sell materials at below market value for public purposes. This bill would allow us to use sealed bid auctions in addition to public outcry auctions for increased efficiencies. This bill would modernize our public notice requirements by emphasizing online public noticing. This bill would reduce paperwork by allowing a minor to choose either fiscal or calendar years to match their tax filings. This bill would also allow the department to renew offshore mining leases for up to 20 years. There was a very brief overview of this bill. It's fairly lengthy. Online, I do have our operations chief for the division, Wynn Menifee, and also Cam Leonard from the Department of Law that will can help me answer more detailed questions if you all wish. Thank you.
Finished?
I'm finished. Thank you very much.
Okay, we've got 3-0 fiscal notes from the Department of Natural Resources, Transportation, and Fish and Game, and there's one indeterminate fiscal note from the Department of Natural Resources, which is forthcoming. We've got nobody from the LIOs or call-ins to testify. We've got a few folks, like as you mentioned, from the department for questions. But so with that, I'll, and nobody signed up in the room to testify. So with that, I'll bring it back to the committee. Do we have any committee members? Senator Hoffman, will of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass Senate CS for House Bill 361 to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations, attached fiscal notes, and forthcoming fiscal note. We have objection. Seeing none, we'll move the committee or move the bill to the next committee referral. Next up, House Bill 264 by Representative Munoz regarding Muni property tax deferral. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to adopt a committee substitute, have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and look to the will of the committee. Senator Hoffman, we have a motion to adopt committee substitute version X.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt version X to House Bill 264.
Peterson.
As our working document.
And I'll object for explanation. Mr. Peterson, could you explain what the CS is, please?
Mr. Chairman, committee has seen the changes in the CS in previous bills. Sections 1, 2, and 3 of this committee substitute will exclude the value of the leasehold interest on ADA-owned properties for the purpose of determining the full and true value by the state only if the local government chooses to exempt that property from taxation.
Okay, I'll remove my objection to adoption of the CS. Do we have objection to adoption of the CS? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and adopt X version of the CS. We've got representation from Munoz's office, and we'll have a brief Eddie's. On the record, please, we have before us the CS version X. We've got representation from Rep. Munoz's office. If he can introduce himself for the record, who he represents, and then explain to us what we have in front of us, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. Christopher Clark, A to Representative Kathy Munoz. I can speak in regards to Sections 4 and Section 1, which relate to a property tax deferral. This is an option allowed to municipalities so that they, if they choose to, may defer any tax increase associated with subdividing property. The intent is to help spur development, especially housing development in places like Juneau where we are in need of more housing opportunities. It sets limits on it. You can do it for up to 5 years if you choose as a municipality, and the break would end, the deferral would end, as soon as a lot is sold or a new home or commercial building is built atop it. And that, in essence, is what it does. I just wanted to briefly comment on sections 5 of the bill and 6 of the bill that relate to the municipal tax cap. And I just want to, if I may, interject a personal note that I had the pleasure of serving for former Representative Eileen McLean of Barrow, and I'm a fan of one of the guys sitting in the back of the room, who was the last sole chair of the House Finance Committee. Even so, we have concerns about these provisions and the impacts to state finances, and that's something of this magnitude was inserted into the bill on day 88 of the 90-day session. So with that, that concludes my testimony, Mr. Chairman.
We have initial questions for the bill sponsor. when there is 2-0 fiscal notes in your packet, one from the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, one from the Senate Finance Committee for the Department of Revenue. We have public testimony portion. Start with the Department of Revenue. Trying to bail, is she around?
Mr. Chairman?
Oh, excuse me, you're in the off net. Wasn't paying attention there. Ms. Bales, if you can introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and tell us what your concern is with the bill, please.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Joanna Bales, Deputy Director of the Tax Division. The Department of Revenue opposes Sections 5 and 6 of this bill, as well as the governor also opposes those sections of the bill. And what those sections would do is remove the municipal tax cap on petroleum property and other property within a municipality's jurisdiction. I know that you will probably be hearing from a representative from the North Slope Borough who will be discussing the reasons why they want the municipal tax cap removed. And we have had some discussions with the North Slope Borough and have some real concerns with removing this tax cap from the standpoint of it could significantly eat into the historical petroleum property tax that the state has kept each year, which is about $115 million. This removal of the tax cap has not been properly vetted, we believe, with other municipalities that may be affected. There is a chance, an actual very real chance, that both the North Slope Borough and Valdez can increase their mill rates to the point where, as I said, the $115 million that the state has historically kept in petroleum property tax would go to those communities for use in their operating budgets. And if their tax rates actually went higher, which could conceivably happen, then redistribution of the petroleum property tax that's collected by other municipalities would have to be made, and those municipalities could see a reduction in the petroleum property tax that they currently collect. So, you know, as I said, we have some very real concerns, and we do oppose these two sections very strongly.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Bales.
And I believe, you know, our fiscal note that we put in there is, you know, we do strongly believe that the $115 million in state revenue will be diverted to those communities. So, and I believe our fiscal note reflects that.
Okay, thank you. Seeing no questions for you, we'll have Randy forward here. Perfect. You can introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and speak to the bill, please.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Randy Hoffbeck. I am the Chief of Staff for Mayor Brower of the North Slope Borough. In the past, have served as the State Petroleum Property Assessor, Residential Appraisal Supervisor for the Municipality of Anchorage, Tax Manager, and CFO for the North Slope Borough. I've dealt with these statutes for over 30 years, both the 2945 and the 4356. Speaking briefly to what Section 5 and 6 would accomplish, within the statutes, there's a municipal operating tax cap, and it says that no municipality can collect a tax in excess of, can have a tax levy in excess of 225% of the statewide per capita assessed value. Essentially take the total assessed value within the state, divided by the total population in the state, multiply that times 225%, multiply that times your local population. That's your maximum value that you can tax on. There's a secondary, and that's the limit only for operations. There's a secondary component, 2945-100, that says there is no cap for the repayment of general obligation debt. So essentially what this cap does, it does not limit the total amount of money in tax that can be collected by a municipality, but rather what it does is parse it into two sections, the part you can use for operation, the part you can use for debt. But it doesn't limit the amount that you can actually collect. What this provision would do, it would be remove that 225% cap and allow the municipalities more flexibility to use their money in the most efficient manner possible. Right now, in order to collect a portion of the debt, the North Slope Borough has to cycle money through a bond market, sell general obligation debt. We've done that for capital projects over the years. At one point in time, had about $1.4 billion in debt. It's about $480 million right now. We're paying it off rapidly. But when we pay off that $480 million in debt, we're going to pay $140 million in interest. That's money that would not have had to have been expended if this cap was not in place. Simply, the only person that's affected by the removal of this cap is New York bankers and investors who are getting the interest rate off this bonded debt. There would be no more money that would flow to the municipality, no more money that would flow to the North Slope Borough, no more money that would, no more tax liability to the oil and gas industry. They're still got to have the 20 mil levy provision within the statutes. No less money to the state. And so I want to speak real briefly to the fiscal note that revenue was put on and some of the assumptions that are in there that are just simply incorrect, and some of the calculations as well. First of all, the assumption that this somehow would increase the risk to state revenues is incorrect. Everything that we could do after this bill passes, we could do right now. The only difference being is that in order to do it right now, we would have to sell general obligation debt to do so. Afterwards, we would not have to. But selling debt is not an issue. I mean, that's something that the borough has done over the years. We've never had a bond issue turned down by our voters. We've never had an issue with selling bonds, and our bonds are greatly coveted. So selling bonds is not an issue. We could do exactly what this says we might do right now. So this doesn't affect that whatsoever. It does not increase the risk.
Thank you for your testimony. Do we have questions? Concerns? We have nobody else signed up. Nobody in the LIL, nobody in the off-net other than Ms. Bales. Seeing no questions. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to comment on this.
Need a motion.
I'm sorry. Can I make a comment, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
I've got a letter in my hand that, it's from Bruce Patella, who's the mayor of the of Juneau here, and it says, quote, "I have looked at this and agree that this proposed amendment and believe that this proposal is good policy," end quote, and it cites Bruce. So I just want to put that on the record that there is support from Bruce Patello as well as the rest of it that comes from AML and their situation.
And the will of the committee, Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate Finance Committee move House Bill 256 /
264.
I'm sorry, 264 / SX from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill from committee to the next committee referral. Next up, House Bill 289 by Representative Seaton regarding the extraction of bedload materials. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and look to the will of the committee. Representative Seaton in the final closing hours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate hearing the bill. The House Bill 89 addresses flooding that takes place across the state of Alaska and numerous emergency declarations that take place almost annually. Much of that flooding occurs because gravel comes down those rivers and builds up in the beds of those rivers, and then you have flooding events that go through private property or public property. And what this does is allows the Department of Natural Resources to consider the mitigation of those disasters as part of the fair market value. Currently, the Department of Natural Resources has to get the fair market value on sand and gravel that's removed from under navigable rivers. The only problem is that they charge an upfront fee of up to $5 a yard, and that makes it uneconomical for removal. What this does is it allows the department, only in coordination with the flood mitigation plan, to take a net profit of a minimum of 12.5% of the extracted value and receive that instead of a gross value at extraction. And so this will allow operators to actually come in and remove this, save the state a lot of money through the disasters and the flooding that occurs now and still receive probably more money for the state because we'll actually be able to sell that gravel. And we have the cities of Skagway, City of Seward, Kenai Peninsula Borough, and Matsu Borough have all actively supported this bill because I guess the easiest instance that I could say is that currently the Resurrection River, the bed is higher than the airport, and that every flood. So thank you. That's it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We have one indeterminate fiscal note from the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Do members have questions? There's nobody that signed up online in the off-net or in the room, so we have any concerns, issues? Seeing none, roll of the committee.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass CS for House Bill 89 resources to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
And we've got one indeterminate fiscal note from the Department of Transportation Facilities. So we have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and the attached indeterminate fiscal note. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill from committee, next committee referral. Last up, last bill, House Bill 125 by the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee regarding the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony to the committee. Rep. Hawker's staff, please.
Expedited version.
If you could briefly explain it, then we've got an amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Julie Lucky, staffer representative Mike Hawker, District 32, and he extends his apologies for missing the meeting. The mechanics of House Bill 125 are simple. It's an issue of domicile. It would move the ABC board from the Department of Public Safety, a law enforcement agency, to the Department of Community Commerce, DCCED, I'm sorry, my acronyms are leaving me today, which is an agency that has experience licensing and regulating lawful commerce. The policy call is what most of the discussion has been on, and that's a little it's harder to describe the policy call. Basically, the sponsors, the board takes on the character of an umbrella agency. So while the ABC board has dual objectives of both licensing and enforcement, it was seen that under Department of Public Safety, there was a cultural shift more towards the enforcement side, and licensees felt that instead of a collaborative relationship with a licensing agency, they were being more treated to law enforcement, sort of the ticketing as opposed to the collaborative relationship to ensure compliance with the licensure. The goal is to balance the rigorous enforcement of the statutes with a collaborative effort to achieve licensure compliance, and there would be no change to the enforcement process. It would just be a change of domicile of the board.
Thank you. Senator Hoffman, you have a motion for amendment one.
Mr. Chairman, I move Amendment 1.
I'll object for explanation. Rep. Hawker's office can explain the amendment, please.
And is this Amendment B.A.1, just so I'm... Okay. There was one amendment made in the House regarding the whether or not the ABC board or its employees could ask a private club, such as the someone that has members and they have key cards to get in, whether they could ask them to provide a key card. The amendment that was adopted was to provide the guidance that the ABC board could not require a private club member or, the private club to provide basically an access device. The way that the amendment was written, it seems to prohibit instead the use of keys to get into a door, and so it's more of a technical amendment to ensure that the amendment that was adopted works the way it was supposed to.
Okay. Remove my objection to the adoption of the amendment. Do we have further objection to adoption of the amendment? Seeing none, Amendment 1 is adopted. We have no further amendments. We've got two fiscal notes in your packet from the Department of Commerce, Community Economic Development, 10 fiscal note from the Administrative Services, one fiscal note for $247,500 for Alcohol Beverage Control Board. $1,538,200 is currently in the FY operating budget. We have several people that have signed up to testify, so we're going to run it pretty short because we're running out of time. We'll start in the room with Matt Flex.
Felix.
If you could introduce yourself for the record, Keep your testimony real brief. We're interested in if you support it, don't support it, because we're not going to have time to debate it.
Okay, so. Mr. Chairman, my name is Matt Felix. I represent a number of health agencies, including Alaska Addiction Professionals Association. We would like you not to move this bill today. We do not support this bill. The ABC board was recently put over in the Department of Public Safety at a request from Lisa Murkowski when she was here in the House after receiving 4,200 signatures from mothers against drunk driving, mothers and fathers who have lost children to drunk driving and to drownings, to a number of other fatalities due to alcohol abuse. And she took the petition to her father, who was the then governor, who moved the ABC board from revenue to public safety to try to get some decent enforcement. As you know, alcohol is one of our major problems in this state, health and social problems. To dumb down the ABC board at this point would be somewhat ludicrous. We're against any kind of a move at this point that would weaken the ABC board. It's an enforcement agency. It doesn't have much power now due to the statutes, but we certainly want to hold the power it does have at this point. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, Jane Wentmore. Following her, Bob Coghill.
Jan.
Yeah, Jan.
Wentmore.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jan Wentmore. I've owned and operated a beverage dispensary license in Skagway for 32 years, and I support this bill. It's important to our industry. Thank you.
Thank you. Bob Coghill.
My name is Bob Coghill. I'm from Juneau, and I'm a partner in a liquor license. We have a liquor store in Nenana, Alaska. I managed that liquor store for 5 years off and on, and under the supervision for the first portion of that of my grandmother, who knew that teens will drink, that they will, if given the opportunity, will buy liquor. They will find people to buy liquor. There is a reason that we need enforcement, because my grandmother's been gone for 30 years, and I think that the ABC board working with in the Department of Public Safety will be more effective, and so I'd like to not see this bill go forward. Thank you.
So you don't support the bill?
I do not support the bill.
Okay. That concludes in the room. We're going to go to the off-net, and again, we're just about out of time, and to get everybody on, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you need to keep your comments to about a minute, or other people won't be able to have their time, so we're interested in if you support the bill or don't support the bill. And please start by introducing yourself for the record. Ellen Granley, please.
Yes, this is Ellen Granley. I'm a public member of the ABC board, and the role of the ABC board in statute and regulation is enforcement, and it's not to promote the liquor industry. In a state where it's twice as easy for someone who's underage to purchase alcohol as it is to purchase cigarettes, I think we still have a ways to go, and I encourage you to not pass this on.
Okay, thank you. Next up, Kate Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Kate Burkhart. I am Executive Director of the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse. My comments are on behalf of that organization only. The board strongly recommends that you do not pass this bill out of committee. We feel it is bad policy, not only for the health and safety concerns you have heard, but also for the fact that there has been no transition planning, and without any indication of how the Department of Commerce will work with the ABC board once it is relocated. We feel that it is an unnecessary impediment to the work of a critical partner in our substance abuse prevention system. So again, we oppose HB 125 and strongly recommend that you not pass it out of committee today.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Crystal Schoenrock.
Hello. I'm Crystal Schoenrock, and I've been in the bar business since I was about 20, and I've owned the Portland Bar and Liquor in Nikiski since 1997. And I really feel that this should be moved to the Department of Commerce. They say there's not going to be any change to ABC board's still going to have the troopers and all this other stuff and do what they're doing now. But I feel that it should be in the Department of Commerce because of the licensing, and I feel the Department of Commerce is better equipped at doing that. And so I would like to see this bill go through. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Jeff Jesse, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Jeff Jesse. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, and we are absolutely opposed to this bill. The industry has basically presented anecdotal information as a basis for supporting this bill. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get the information we provided to previous committees into your packet. If you had a chance to see that, you would see that a 2011 licensing survey by the ABC board staff that surveyed licensees did not show any pattern of distrust or lack of respect given to licensees by the ABC board staff. Again, in our view, the primary function of the ABC board is enforcement. As Kate Burkhart testified, even with the fact that the ABC board does not use any compliance young people who look like 21 or older, still is twice as easy to buy alcohol as a minor as it is tobacco in this state. Just last week, the ABC board investigators, along with APD, raided several establishments in Anchorage, found them to be in violation not only of liquor regulations and requirements, but also conducting illegal drug activities. This doesn't sound like commerce. This sounds like law enforcement. We urge you to hold this bill. If they want to come back in subsequent years, then the Senate would be able to have the type of in-depth testimony and exploration of this issue that it deserves. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your testimony, Mr. Jesse. Last up, Elaine Borman.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm with Meeting the Challenge, and we oppose this bill. We think it would be best served to keep it right where it is with public transportation. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, and I appreciate everybody being concise on the subject matter and the testimony in this late hour on the last day of session, and not only that, on Sunday morning. That concludes the public hearing testimony portion of this bill. Any questions? Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a comment that I know this bill came to you late. I know we're at the end of the session. I would have preferred, I guess, a more robust committee effort on this bill, more public hearing in the state Senate on the pros and cons of this change. So I just wanted to put that on the record, that I think that this deserved more effort than we're able to give it at this time.
Thank you. Will of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass CS for House Bill 125 to the next committee referral with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations, attached zero fiscal notes, and the other attached fiscal note. We have objection. Seeing none, we'll move the bill to the next committee referral. We'll stand at ease to the call of the chair. We're at ease.